This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora, koutou, no mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau, Oti Poti Dunedin, monthly resettling in Aotearoa show. Ko Anna Aho, I'm the manager here at Citizens Advice Bureau. Our show is for anyone new or resettling here in New Zealand and Dunedin and navigating life here, but in fact has very useful information and advice for anyone. Just a quick rundown. Our core service is really to help you know and understand and exercise your rights and know your obligations under the law here in New Zealand, and then the steps you might have or be able to take to resolve your issues. The other part of our service is to advise and help you to access the services you're entitled to. We really like to educate and empower people to have the confidence to take action themselves, you know, with our guidance. Our help and advice is free. It's important to let you know that we're independent of any government agency. Anything we talk about remains completely confidential. So tonight we are going to look at rental inspections, things like when landlords can enter, notice periods, etc. So the first thing is really some important advice regarding the initial inspection. This is prior to moving into your property, so right back at the start. The tenant needs to make sure that they do a thorough check of the property at the beginning of the tenancy and record an accurate picture of the state the property is in. There's a property inspection form on tenancy services. It's part of the residential tenancy agreement. So use that initial property inspection form. If you can't find it, give us a call and we'll find it for you or email you a copy. So it covers everything like walls, doors, lights, power points, floor coverings, windows, blinds, curtains, cupboards, sinks, benches, the oven, fridges, mirrors, the shower, the bath, the basin, the toilet, the washing machine, the wash tub. It goes through every room, and also we'll look at things outside like rubbish bins, locks, ant locks inside, any garage or carport and the grounds and info about, you know, the keys supplied, etc. And the tenant should work through this with the landlord to make sure they have a shared understanding of any issues with the property right from the beginning. And the form has space to record all the details about the conditions of all those areas we just mentioned, including the space to take note of any existing damage or defects, and to list any of the furniture and the chattels in the home, and the state of them as well. Our advice is always take photos, take heaps of photos. Doesn't matter how many, don't take too many. I mean, you can never take too many, or even a video recording, because that's a visual record. And it does provide really helpful evidence of the actual condition of things when you moved in. The digital record, the photo or the video will always have the date taken and the time, the date created as part of the file information. And so that can always be used as evidence later on if you need to, if there's a discrepancy or a dispute over the state of various things. It's really important to make sure that, like I said, any damage or disrepair is recorded. It's also because that's a reference point for how things were. The tenant can't prove, you know, at the end or later down the track, if the tenant can't prove that the damage existed before they move in, you know, you may be held responsible for the cost of repairing the damage, or it may impact on getting your bond back at the end of the tenancy. And both the landlord and the tenant should sign, date, and keep a copy of that initial property inspection report. Now, there are specific rules around different reasons the landlords are allowed to visit the property. One, The first one is that they can come at any time, actually, with the free consent of the tenant. This means that if the landlord asks permission to enter the house or flat and the tenant freely consents immediately before at the time of entry, then no notice period is required. This can happen at any time of the day. The purpose of the visit doesn't matter and could include an inspection, repairs or maintenance. So a positive act of giving consent is required to meet that condition. For example, by saying, yes, come in. The landlord can't rely on the fact that the tenant remains silent. So if you just say nothing, but you didn't ask them to leave, that's not consent. So the consent must be freely given. And it means that the landlords can't bully their way in. A tenant may not necessarily be at home when consent is requested. E.g., the landlord, you know, they could call or text the tenant and ask if they can enter the house that day to carry out repairs. The tenant's permission must be immediately before or at the time of entry. This means when the landlord is at the door or shortly before they arrive. A tenant can't give, and the landlord can't claim they gave, broad or blanket permission for the landlord to enter the property, you know, like at any time or over a period of days or weeks or without the required notice. And if they do, that permission is invalid and has no legal effect. A tenant should always feel able to refuse entry to the landlord if they show up at the door. Can be hard to do this in the moment, but some examples that we've come up with, or that, you know, are pretty common ways to sort of say no, that the tenant could use, might be something like, you know, we weren't expecting a visit, and it's not really a very convenient time at the moment. Would you mind coming back tomorrow or in a few days' time or something like that? You know, and if the landlord insists on coming, tenant could say something like, I'm sure you're aware of the notice requirements for a landlord visiting their tenants. It's 24 hours for blah, 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 and 48 hours for blah, 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 which we're going to go into about notice periods shortly. And then just sort of say, oh, it'd be great if you could come back then. The second time that the second reason for a landlord to, when they're allowed to visit, is in the case of an emergency. So a landlord can enter the house or flat any time in the case of an emergency. No notice is required. The situation must be exceptional and urgent. Third reason is for property inspection. Another reason might be for meth testing. Again, with the correct notice, the landlord can test for methamphetamine. A landlord is also allowed to enter the property with correct notice to inspect work that the tenant has said they would do or was required to do as part of a tenant breaching the tenancy agreement. They can enter for repairs and maintenance, again with the correct notice. They can enter a house to carry out their legal duties, you know, regarding smoke alarms or the healthy home standards, or to carry out repairs and maintenance. Another reason they can come in is if the rent is at least 14 days overdue and the landlord has good reason to believe that the house or flat has been abandoned, they're allowed to enter their premises after giving at least 24 hours notice. They're allowed to show around buyers, real estate agents, etc., but they must get prior consent to the tenant to show these people around or anyone else who, you know, who is legally authorised to inspect the premises. Like it might be a building inspector for a prospective buyer. They can show them around at any reasonable time with correct notice. And the consent of the tenant. The tenant can't unreasonably refuse to give the consent in those situations, but they may make their consent subject to reasonable conditions. Like the tenants are allowed to refuse open homes and they can limit access to certain times of the day or days of the week. So property inspections are generally the most common reason for a landlord to visit a property. And they can be quite stressful for tenants. This is especially the case when the landlord is not respectful of the fact that the property is the tenant's home, or if the landlord has expectations around the presentation of the property that are really over the top. So when can a landlord carry out a property inspection? Well, a landlord can enter the house or flat between the hours of 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. any day of the week to undertake a property inspection. A notice period of not less than 48 hours and not more than 14 days is required. While it's not ideal, it is lawful for the landlord to inspect the property when the tenant isn't at home. Inspections are only allowed once every 4 weeks. If the landlord is following the law, but they are visiting so often that it is disturbing the peace and comfort of the tenant, then the tenant can actually ask them to stop on the basis that it is a breach of their right to quiet enjoyment of their property. Yeah, and so what is quiet enjoyment? Well, it means the quiet and peaceful possession and enjoyment of the place without any interference or harassment by the landlord or other people who work or represent them. Not all disagreements between a landlord and a tenant will be a breach of this rule. The Tenancy Tribunal has said that a breach of quiet enjoyment, it requires more than just a personality clash. Common examples of when a tenant's rights to quiet enjoyment may be breached include the landlord's visits are too frequent. This might be because of a combination of lawful inspections or unexpected visits, coming to collect rent, maintenance or gardening. Might be breached if there's tours of the house by prospective buyers, renovations or building work that disturbs the tenants and are not part of the normal maintenance of the property. For landlords visiting too regularly, the tenant can try to resolve this by working through these steps. So firstly, check your rights regarding the regularity, timing and notice requirements for landlord visits. Keep a record of the amount of notice the landlord gives and the time and purpose of each visit. That's really important to keep a record in writing of everything, time, date, what was said. Write a friendly letter to the landlord is the next step, asking them not to visit so often. You know, you could say something like, "Dear, what the name of the landlord or the property manager? I'm writing to let you know I have some concerns which are impacting on me as a tenant, and I'd like us to be able to resolve these issues in a friendly way. Particularly, I'm concerned about," and then list the concerns. So to address these, I would like. You know, blah, 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 explain how you want the issue resolved. And then just, you know, be polite, be nice, say thanks for listening to these concerns, and I'm sure we can sort them out. Appreciate a response to this letter and put a date on when you want a response. Always put a date. The best way to contact me, and then say how you can be contacted. If this doesn't work, then the next step is to issue a 14-day notice to fix, which we've discussed in previous recordings, so you'll be able to find them on... podcast on the under our show on ORFM. So issuing a 40-day notice, setting out the breaches of the tenancy agreement or the RTA, and asking the landlord to stop. So just to reiterate that, to keep the relationship with the landlord positive and healthy, remember that if the rules of landlord access have been broken, but not in a serious way, a polite letter to the landlord reminding them of their responsibilities to give notice, you know, is probably the most helpful way to deal with it in the first instance. So notice for landlord visits. So as mentioned, landlords are allowed to come into the property if the tenant consents or if they follow the rules about the notice and timing. The tenant doesn't have to be home as long as that correct notice or consent's been given. If the landlord hasn't given adequate notice, it's best to try to talk to them, as we said. After the 14-day notice, if that doesn't work, then the tenant can apply for mediation or to the Tenancy Tribunal. So another sort of quick tip is that landlords don't have to give notice to come onto the land or the grounds or the common shared areas. That would probably usually happen when the landlord's doing maintenance on the house or property, such as like maybe pruning trees. They're also allowed to knock on the door at any time without coming inside. But the landlord still has to respect the tenant's peace, comfort and privacy when they come onto the land. So who's allowed to give notice? Well, the same rules apply to any agents that the landlord, that would be like property managers or any other people that are under the control of the landlord, like contractors. And how should notice be given? So notice regarding access to the property can be given in verbally or in writing. It can be given by the landlord or by their agent. A landlord who enters the house or flat without following these rules commits an unlawful act and can have damages awarded against them of up to $1,500. But on the same note, a tenant who without reason or excuse doesn't let a landlord come in when they are lawfully allowed to also commits an unlawful act, can be liable with the same amount, $1,500. It's a serious offence if landlords or property managers force their way inside the property or threaten to. They can actually be in prison for up to 3 months or fined $3,000. If things are happening that you know shouldn't be, you know, try to have a witness, take photos or write down times and dates, what happened. So if you want to take it further, you have a timeline of what has happened and or evidence. So how should you prepare? How should a tenant prepare for inspections? Well, firstly, decide whether to be there or not. You know, they'll usually take between 30 to 60 minutes. Any longer than this, it may be a breach of your quiet enjoyment. Tenants should tidy up before the landlord comes. There are checklists online again about guiding landlords on what to look for during inspections. Going through a checklist may help a tenant prepare for the inspection. Again, give us a call if you want to find one. If you can't find one, or we'll find one for you. Make a note of issues and repairs to discuss. Tenants should write down a list of any issues or repairs that they want to discuss or the landlord to see during the inspections, and a copy of this list could be given to the landlord. It's probably quite a good idea, or it is a good idea, to have the initial property inspection on hand to check how the state of the flat may have changed since the start of the tenancies. Again, we can find that for you, print one out for you. You can come and pick it up. So you've got to be aware that the landlord may take photos. So they're allowed to take photos during the inspection, but they should avoid taking photos of the tenant's belongings if possible. If the landlord is not respectful of the tenant's personal items, that, again, may be a breach of the tenant's privacy. But for peace of mind, you know, you may want to put some of your personal items away. Take notes of any repairs or maintenance the landlord agrees to do, like take note of what they say they're going to fix, and ask them what their time frame is for that work and write it down. Remember, the landlord or the property manager is checking if the place is reasonably clean and tidy, that there's no damage to the property and any appliances and furnishing that come with the rental are working. So they need to, you know, landlords and property managers need to have a realistic and reasonable expectation of someone living and using the house. But, you know, just be aware that the standards of being clean and tidy can be higher at the end of a tenancy than halfway through it. An unrealistic expectation will be something, for example, like to wash and iron the curtains. Cupboards and wardrobes might be checked to ensure there are no leaks under the kitchen sink or in the bathroom cupboards. Also, any cupboards that back onto a bathroom might be checked to see if there's no leaking through the wall and there's no dampness or any issues. So it is reasonable for property managers or landlords to check the backs of cupboards and wardrobes for dampness, leaks or mould. It is not reasonable if they're just wanting to see what's in the cupboards. So if they want to check a cupboard or a wardrobe that contains, you know, the tenant's or your personal belongings, the landlord should actually let the tenants know in advance so they can choose whether to remove the personal items or to cover them up. And the landlord just has to, they have to remember that they have to respect that it's the tenant's home. Landlords can give tenants a time frame to remedy any breaches of the tenancy agreement, such as tidying up or undertaking certain repairs. They can actually then give notice to come in and re-inspect the property to see that that work's been done, and they don't have to wait for the 4 weeks before doing this re-inspection in this situation. Tenants do not have to do professional cleaning for a property inspection. Even at the end of the tenancy, because sometimes that will be requested to have a professional clean. The landlord can deduct bond money for cleaning costs if at the end of a lease tenants don't leave it in a reasonably clean and tidy state and remove rubbish. A tenant is free to ask for a copy of any property inspection report, but whether the landlord is legally required to supply it depends on the content of the report. If the property inspection report contains information relating to the tenant, for example, photos with the tenant's belongings in them, or if the tenant is named on or in some other way is identical from the report, then this is considered personal information and the landlord is required under the Privacy Act to supply it to the tenant. If the report does not contain personal information, for example, it only refers to the building condition, then the landlord does not have to give a copy to the tenant. The landlord may refuse to release the report, even if it contains personal information, if they have grounds under the Privacy Act to withhold it. if a tenant believes that the landlord is wrongly withholding the property inspection report, they can complain to the Privacy Commissioner. So what about in the situation if your landlord never does inspections? Should you actually be worried about that? Well, as much as they can be annoying, inspections protect tenants from unfair claims that the landlord might raise. Inspections also are a requirement of most house insurance policies, actually. So most insurance policies state that you have to do inspections every 3 months. Some might be longer, but majority say 6 months. Regular inspections also mean that landlords see the actual wear and tear over time. Then they don't get surprises if they haven't inspected, because they've seen it happening gradually. So it's actually quite important to have them come and inspect it. And again, taking photos throughout is always really important, like I said, and always keeping a record. Just always think to yourself about evidence and having everything written down. Any time you're going to talk to your landlord property manager, it's always a good idea to have it in writing. You can always keep it reasonable and friendly, but it's just always good to think about having that proof or record of what's happened. Yeah, so that's all we actually have time for this evening, but do join us again next month, because we're going to continue the same theme and we're going to look further into the obligations and responsibilities. So the obligations of tenants, but the responsibilities of both landlords and tenants, you know, of repairs, damage, you know, what fair wear and tear means, etc., and who is responsible for what. But remember in the meantime that we do have a number of articles on our website relating to property inspections. So our website's www.cab.org.nz. So this is an example of some of the articles we have and their titles. What happens when our landlord does a property inspection? My landlord wants to do a virtual property inspection. Do I have to agree to it? Should I do a property inspection report before signing a tenancy agreement? My landlord only gave me 1 hour's notice before a property inspection. Is this allowed? Our landlord is constantly coming around to inspect the property. Is this allowed? So, yeah, lots of good information on our website that you can go and have a read through. You can contact CAB or Te Puti Dunedin to ask about any of these things we've discussed tonight, or absolutely anything else you need help with or you need to know your rights about. You can call us directly in Dunedin on 03 471 6166, where you will get one of our friendly volunteers who are very well trained and will be able to advise and tell you about your rights under the law. Or you can call the nationwide free phone 0800 367 222, but just be aware that that may be answered elsewhere or nationwide. You can email CAB via our website online inquiry, which is on our website www.cab.org.nz. Under Find a CAB and then contact us. Call in at 155 Princes Street. Always a good idea to phone first, right at the start of a shift, just after 10 or just after 1, just to see how busy we are and to check that there's no one else already here in the interview room, because otherwise you might have to wait till it's free. Our hours are Monday to Thursday, 10 to 4, and Friday is 10 to 1. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in this evening and Otago Access Radio for hosting us. We are also on Facebook, CAB Dunedin, and on Instagram at citizens.advice.dunedin. So please follow us and check out the posts we share with you about your rights. Please enjoy your evening and remember to tune in next week, where we are going to carry on with the same theme, but talk a lot more about the responsibilities of damage, fair wear and tear, what that means. So we will see you again then. Mātua.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.